Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for each and every one of you who will join us this evening, either by way of live stream on Facebook or on Meta, or by way of the Blog Talk Radio platform. Okay? We're grateful for you, and we want to encourage you to go ahead and join us here and get into the studio. The number to call us tonight live in the studio is 563-999-3617. Again, that number to call the studio live tonight is 563-999-3617. Love to hear from you, we'll be looking forward to engaging you in some live discussion tonight. But thank you very much for joining us again. We do have a topic this evening and want to encourage you to bring your questions, your comments, and let's have an academic discussion here this evening. All right? Now, of urban American youth in 2024, we kind of referenced this last week a little bit. It becomes obvious that there is one common variable to think about, to look at, and that is the condition of their first exposure to society, right? That happens within the context of their family, and from there, they're orientated socially in many ways. It has tremendous impact on the rest of their lives. While there this does not necessarily mean that this is a good thing or a bad thing, that they're going to necessarily turn out being productive or they're going to be the worst that the world has ever seen. What it does say is that the family is a very, very important aspect or foundational basis for young people, children, growing up in society. And specifically, we're talking about in urban America. I'd like you to join me tonight as we talk about considerations for families raising at-risk youth. Now, we have been hitting this back and forth for some time since we've been doing Talk Straight. But you know what? January is about gone. It's January the 30th, 2024, and this month is gone in another day. But the problems that we've had haven't gone anywhere. So I want you to join me tonight as we speak from this particular topic here, considerations for families raising at-risk youth. All right? The number again to call is 563-999-3617. You can get us here right here at the studio. And I'll begin our monologue here and encourage you to give us a call and join us either way you're joining us there. January 30th, 2024. Wow. Already a month gone. Looked like the year just started. I don't know how the New Year's resolutions are going for you, but there you go. The Genesis, the first chapter, and for your consideration, I'd like to look at verses 27 and 28. So that's Genesis 1, 27, 28. Perhaps this is a very familiar passage of scripture for most of us. But here's what it says in the King James Version of the Bible. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hence, the dichotomy, the biology, the structure, the anatomy, if you will, of the family, male and female, making one man. All right? In the context of humanity or society, a family is a group of people related either by birth, by marriage, or some other relationship. Members of the immediate family may include a husband, a spouse, a wife, parents, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. When we talk about the extended family, those members include your grandparents, your aunties, your uncles, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, and even siblings-in-laws. Now, in general, the family is the principal institution for the social orientation or socialization of children. It's the principal. What that means simply, it's the main or the primary place where that begins. And that's what I alluded to earlier. When we look at this institution, what we have to understand is that there is no codified or perfect or specific model other than best practice that we've seen over time with families. But the truth of the matter is every family have different dynamics and face every family has in common, and that is its basic makeup. Now, as the basic unit for raising children, anthropologists generally classify most family organizations in different ways. Okay, let's just talk about some of them right quickly, some of the ways that anthropologists would classify the family. All right. Either as a what's known as a matrifical family, that is where there's just a mother and the children. And what we've seen in the last 40 or 50 years is a rise, particularly in urban America, where there are more mothers who find themselves raising children alone, males and females, the matrifical structure. Then you have the conjugal. This is where there's a husband and a wife together, you understand, raising children, right? And this stems into the nuclear, or is identified also as a nuclear family. a father, mother, and their children in a home, in a family. Then you have the avuncular structure. An example of this is where you have a grandparent. We see this even more and more now in the last 20 or 30 years, but not better, where grandparents find themselves having to raise their grandchildren. That's where their parents. You raise them. We can get into that. We can get into that. This may also extend to a sibling of a person that had a child, their brother, their sister, and the grandparent is head of the household and all you folk in the house. Okay? Then we have what's called the traditional extended family, where you have your parents, you have your children, that they live in the same environment with other people and members of the family. It could be with the grandmama and the mama, or the grandfather, and so forth and so on. But that's your extended family. More and more what's happening is people being invited into the traditional family structure and being classified and associated with family members. Your big brother's girlfriend or your sister's boyfriend. You don't have any real true thing there, but they just there. But they have an effect on children. Their examples, their behaviors, their mindsets impact and shape the character of those children. Oftentimes we find this where young people are molested in homes. There are people who really don't have any real familial family tie, right? But they're there, and the children can't control that. Now, what research has identified is several characteristics possessed by successful families. Now, I just said that there's no perfect or model thing that we can say any family should have. However, there are some examples of success. So let's talk about that for a second. Families that do well in each of these areas have fewer problems and are able to deal more effectively with problems when they arise. On the other hand, families that have difficulty in these areas that I'm about to speak of, they tend to have more problems and remain unsolved, unresolved issues. All right? So here's what we're talking about. This is what the research suggests, some success models that any family can follow, that you can use. Nobody can make you do it. But if you're wise, you would consider them, okay? All right, so problem solving. You're the head of the family, and then within your family context, there's a focus on problem solving. When the family has the ability to resolve issues as they arise, right, and maintain effective functioning, executive functioning of some head of that family or those who have defined roles. That's very helpful. And the family can provide protection for those children. We talked about considerations for at-risk youth. What can we do to rein that in? Problem solving is important. And you impart those lessons on those children. Communication. Now, we're talking about verbal and nonverbal information in exchange. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You have a little boy who has individuals coming in and out of the environment that they live, and they smoke. They use profanity. Maybe they wear their hat a certain way or wear a certain style of clothes, and they have an impact on that child, right? That's a form of communication to your wife or to your children or other people around those children. Those children pick up social cues, and that's how they shape their own conversation and communication. Effective families are cognizant of that and make sure that you keep your children away from those negative influences, either by going to somebody, and that could be a relative's house that you send them to, where they face these influences. No disrespect to the relative, but if you want to make sure your children are raised by certain values, you understand, and that they're shaped by a certain mindset, these are ways you maintain that. All right? So we're talking about communication. Then we're talking about family roles. Yes, I said roles, R-O-L-E-S. Everybody has definable roles. Children didn't get in here by themselves. It took a male and a female to engage in some business to get them here. I don't think I have to tell you grown folk what I'm talking about, do I? You understand? And beyond just the fun of getting them here, there's a responsibility once they get here. And that don't just befall the grandparents or the other extended family. That's the primary duty of the father and the mother. To become that primary force or voice of influence in those children's lives. Those roles. Working. Providing love and comfort and instruction and time for your children. Pattern of behavior that when it's done right, children come from families feeling that they're loved, that they're valued, and they don't have to go out in the streets looking for validation in all the wrong places with all the wrong people. You hear me, beloved? This is very important, very important. Talking about family roles. Effective responsiveness. You've got to be able to spend time working. You got to work and provide for your children, absolutely. But you also have to balance that with time getting to know them, engaging them, understanding their character, their mindset, and how they tick so that you can respond to their needs emotionally, even physically. I know that's a lot, isn't it? Being a parent is not an easy thing. In the family, it's not something to be taken for granted. That's our point. We're talking about these considerations for addressing at-risk youth because what I'm suggesting to you is that one of the reasons they're at risk is because they're lacking certain things. These things that I'm laying out to you right now are some best practices. Problem solving, being able to communicate, understanding and engaging appropriately in certain roles, and then effective responsiveness, being able to respond to your children and to members of your family accordingly. And then the last two involve effective involvement. Now, people say for the longest, I feed you, I clothe you, and I put a roof over your head. You ought to be satisfied. That's good. They need that too. Well, let me tell you something else they really need. They need to be able to see that you're involved in every aspect of their life, to know that you're around. That starts with holding them as a little bitty baby and talking to them. And that dovetails with some of the other things we've been talking about communication and so forth and so on. When they make a mistake, they need, a boy in particular, need a father as a coach. Watch me now. Watch me now. Huh? You are their coach. As a young male, seeking to understand how to address and deal with issues that confront them, as a young male. Conversely, a mother is a coach to her female. As they grow up physiologically and emotionally in different stages. I wrote a book about it a few years ago, talking about fatherhood development. All right? Now, talking about effective involvement in your family. One of the reasons you don't have time to be out and doing anything else, brother, is because when you have a family, you have a wife and children, there's an obligation and responsibility beyond just working and providing for them. That involves you being there with them. Amen, somebody. Being involved at the dinner table. Huh? Sometimes giving them a bath. Putting them to bed at night. Reading to them. Talk to me, somebody. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right. All right. And then behavioral control is the last thing. When we talk about behavioral control, we're referring to patterns that members of the family adopt dealing with their circumstances. In every family, there's somebody that's going to be the jokester. Somebody's going to be serious. Somebody's going to be a slacker. You understand? That don't make them bad. These are some of the dynamics. But then there's somebody that coalesces all of those aspects and people to make that family whole, make it functional. You understand what I'm saying? And this is important to recognize. These are some things that over time we found are important considerations for a family to show some success. And the evidence of your success is when your children are able to display that as they grow up and as they develop themselves. Okay? And so this is what we're making reference to. Now, I want to, for a second, as we get ready to go to the phones, and the number to call us here tonight is 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. Facebook, you're watching us. Come on. Come on, get in here. Get in here where you fit in here. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about it? When we talk about at-risk youth in urban America, it is not over for them. There's hope for them, right? But the first thing we have to do is look at where the breakdown is. And I would submit to you that is within the family structure. If you don't know how to get there, I'm happy to help you with that. And largely my role as a pastor for the last almost 30 years now has afforded me the knowledge and information to do that. We have to do that. And I would argue that this is a pivotal role that the church in local neighborhoods could play. If they don't know, I'm happy to share with them as well. Again, I've written some books about these things, or a workbook, and done some seminars and lectures and so forth in the past. In fact, that's how we came about this show, Talk Straight. We were touring 10 different cities, right? And we were engaging individuals on these subject matters. We got feedback from them. Over the time, we've had guests to come on from those cities and things of that nature. All right? But again, the number to call here is 563-999-3617. My good friend, Donny Hathaway, the late, great Donny Hathaway, I think he hit something when he talked about what it means to be young, gifted, and black. Now, this doesn't just apply to Afro or African-American children, but certainly in urban America, there's a high concentration there. And I want you to listen to what he says about being young, gifted.
You know, in this whole wide world.
They got gifts, they got talent, they got
self-worth.
I better let it be.
Cuss them out, you just grab them and slam them down on the ground and you get ugly and nasty with them. No. What do you do, doctor? Well, let me submit to you that in the calmest way you can, you display from your demeanor to him that despite what everybody else said, you're important. Huh? Are a figure that the world needs to know. But you got to place yourself in a position to establish yourself so that you can be marketed and presented to the world. You're not a chump. You're not a hole. You're not a throwaway. You're not a problem. You're not a statistic. But you are a young man made in the image and the likeness of God. Just like the text said in Genesis 1:27. Ben 28 said, you got power, you got dominion. You got to let them know that you have everything working for you because you are young. Ecclesiastes 12th chapter talks about and admonishes young people to remember the Creator in the days when you're young, in your youth, for the evil days come. What are the evil days, doctor? Those are the days where you start getting older, and you're like me. You know, I call myself playing football in high school days, and now I didn't get to the point where I'm aching now because that stuff, hey, boy, you know, it gets to you. But those times, those days are coming when you get older and you can't do like you did 20, 30, 40 years ago. You understand? I never will forget when my son was growing up, he was young, we go out and play basketball. At one point, with the younger he was, he didn't know he's a young adult himself now, but there was a time where I can keep up with him a little bit. I can run a whole court with him. Can't do that now. Look here, trying to do that no more. It's not even worth me trying. Prove a point to nobody. You understand? But my point here is that young people must understand in your youth that's the best opportunity for you to be like the ant. Where when it's nice and warm, you can start storing up. When it get cold, when you can't go too much, you'll have something to live off of. You work smart and not hard. When you're young, you develop yourself. You learn all you can, reading, writing, math, arithmetic, history, science. Take those things in because they'll be useful to you. Understand the language of your environment and know something. I'm not saying you have to be an expert. Try to learn more about other environments. When I taught high school, I taught a geography class to a ninth grade class. And one of the things I started out with them doing is asking them, if you were blindfolded and you were flown to a foreign country, Egypt to Okinawa, Japan, to Dubai, or to South Africa. You would drop that airplane, bam, into a field. Would you be able to speak the language? Would you be able to communicate? How would you survive, right? Well, the ideas for them to think about understanding how to communicate not only where you are, but appreciating other cultures and other people in such a way that you'll be able to intelligently engage, dialogue, and communicate with them. You see? When you're doing that, you ain't got time for foolishness. Why are they hanging out on the street, doctor? Why are they so likely to try to keep up and run up and down? Well, because they're trying to find something to do with themselves. As I mentioned to you earlier, nobody, apparently, either they did or they didn't pay attention to it, but not enough emphasis was on them learning how to deal with situations, their communication, their problem solving, and their roles in the family. I made it very clear to both of my children. I have a son and a daughter. They're young adults now. Are they millennials? Son of millennials. I guess they're gen later in the Gen Z. I don't really keep up with all that. But nonetheless, made a point to encourage them to know your job in our family is your schoolwork. Some of the people you deal with at work are your teachers, the principals, the librarians, and it's expected that you respect them like you do your parents. It's expected that they look out for you like your mother I would as your parents. See what I'm saying? They're learning how to assume roles and communicate appropriately. My son knew that you don't talk to your sister any kind of way. My daughter knew you don't talk to your brother any kind of way. As a respectable and appropriate manner to engage one another. Likewise, your parents or your aunts or your cousins. See what I'm saying? These are lessons that are learned in the family context. So when we talk about considerations for at-risk youth, it's not what's happening in the street that you need to focus on. Say that again, doctor. It's not what's happening in the streets that you need to focus on. You need to take them out of that environment and work on properly building up the home environment for them. If there is no home environment, preachers, social workers, teachers, that's what we ought to work together to do. I'm not blaming you. I'm saying we ought to do it together. I would argue as a former public education figure or teacher in the public schools, one of the main barriers to being able to ensure the engagement of young people in school was being able to communicate with their parents to get their parents buy-in. I went so far as to say that I'm going to call every one of my children's parents if I could. Sometimes we couldn't. Phone numbers were off or phones were disconnected and that sort of thing. But I made it a point to reach out to them. And it got to a point that those who kept their presence ever known to me because of their behavior, if I could reach their parents by phone, I'm going to knock on your door because I want to talk to you. That works for me. I know every teacher don't do that. I got it. I'm trying to tell you what the barrier was, though. And that was that we didn't have at least a open dialogue and communication and understanding. It was really difficult for many of us as teachers to get parents of our children. They came from urban areas of Nashville, Davidson County, sure enough. That don't make them bad, but that's a reality. And it was difficult to get not just African-Americans, but our white students as well, excuse me, to get their parents to come up during parent-teacher conference. And that wasn't everybody, but too many of them who did not. You understand what I'm saying? So what are you saying? I'm talking about these are some considerations for families. For families. Now, I hear you saying, Doctor, I do the best I can. I'm raising my children the best I know how. I got to work. They got to eat. They need food. They need clothing. Yes, that's right. That's right. Agree with you. And I submit to you that one of the things that we can do is look for ways. I know the church now in particular, many churches are struggling to find a relevance and to get membership to come back. Well, let me tell you a little secret. This is the perfect time now to fill that void and supply the demand for a place for mothers and fathers and children to come and to gain that additional support, learning about how to create the best family model. Maybe even having a church to help keep their children as an after school for free. For free. When you look at it in urban American cities, right now, many of the churches are locked. There ain't nobody there unless they're there for Bible studies. Well, we can change that because you got free real estate that could be useful to solving a problem in urban America. We're talking about considerations for families. Go to the local preacher and ask him, hey, man, or woman, will you do that for me? Will you open up your door? Now, I know the challenge. I know. You don't want nobody coming there tearing up your building. Okay, I get it. Don't want nobody coming back robbing you. I know. Some kind of way, though, we're going to have to break that ice in the interest of the at-risk youth. What we're seeing now more and more is not just males that are getting caught up in these things like snatching grabs, robberies, carjacking. They're getting younger and younger, but it's not just males, but females. Young females are doing the same thing. Nobody should get caught up or get hurt or get killed, but it really bothers me to see a young lady caught up like that. And there are stories where they run up on the wrong one, and they lose their life at a very young age. That bothers me. That bothers me. And, beloved, that's something we can do. All right? It's not open mic, considerations for families raising at-risk youth. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, and we want to encourage you to give us a call. It's open mic discussion. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Where you at with this? The number to call is 563-999-3617. You can give us a call right now, and I'd be glad to talk with you, you know? Right now, I'm writing this in the thing right here for our listening audience. All right. 563-999-3617. All right, you give me a call there, and we can chat. One of the questions I want to ask in general here, and I'll just keep going until somebody calls and talks to me. I realize that every night we don't have individuals to call, but tonight I want you to know you're free to do so. If you're following us on Facebook, thank you all that are following us on the live stream. Give me a call. Come on, give me a holler. Call me right now. What's the number, Doc? What's the number? 563-999-3617. You can call me right now, and we can chat. All right? We're live on the Blog Talk Radio podcast here. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and you're listening to Talk Straight on this January 30th. Can you believe that? January 30th, 2024. This month is gone. We just got one more little day tomorrow. What are we going to do with January of 2024? I'm sorry, beloved. It's gone. Bye-bye. See ya. Don't want to be you. Okay. All right. So give us a call. One of the questions I want to ask relative to this topic and something that we mentioned in the monologue is the government mandate engage in certain practices or behaviors in order for them to receive support from the government? That's the question. I hope I'm asking that in the most respectful way. But you understand what I'm getting at, right? You see where I'm going? Should the government be able to dictate and control that for you? Or is there some other means by which you can ensure and see that happening for young children? That's the question. All right? If you're listening to us, I'd love to get your feedback on that. I'd love to get your feedback on that. Come on, come on, come on, and give me a holler. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. The number again is 563-999-3617. So the question is, let me reiterate the question, should the government be able to mandate certain behaviors within families from the custodial authority or the parents of children? Is that appropriate? Now, if you listen to the show afterwards and you watch this on Facebook afterwards, feel free to, when you see it, go ahead and drop a response in there. I'd like to hear from you, and we'll talk about it down the road, our next episode. But should the government have say and control over how you raise your children or what you do, especially if they get in trouble? Now, we know that what happens if they find themselves before juvenile court and their either delinquency or status offense is being adjudicated before a juvenile court body by a magistrate or something, we do know that sometimes the children are remanded from the custody of their parents and put in plate and state custody and so forth and so on. Typically, that's a temporary thing, though. Sometimes parents, because of abuse and neglect, lose their rights, but they're given an opportunity to go back and do courses. And in these courses, they learn parenting skills and basic things, trouble with the law. Should the government be able to do that prior to that? The minute you're born, child is born in the hospital, is it appropriate for the government to say, okay, you come over here now? And especially if you're asking the government for certain services, for support services. Right? And I know what we're getting to, what we're inferring, that there's a classism there. Right? If you're rich and you can afford to not have to rely on the government, then the government have no say in your life. But if you're poor, you got to allow the government to mandate and direct certain things. That's the question. That's the question. That's the question. Feel free to give me a holler here. We'd love to have you share in this and talk with us about it. You understand? 563-999-3617. I'm going to keep on keeping on. And I'm going to post this in our group here so that this group will be able to participate in our discussion here. And hopefully they will. Let's see. Okay, there we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. And feel free to come on, get with us here. Another consideration is if are engaged in disruptive behaviors, criminal type behaviors, how soon should you give up on them? Now, I understand that there are many people who have positioned themselves to say, you know what, I ain't going to waste no time with them. You come wrong, I'm cutting you down. I'm not going to even, you know, some people are literally afraid that they may lose their life. Because what a lot of young folk in urban areas have demonstrated is a quickness to destroy. I get that. Unfortunately, we've seen cases where young people have lost their lives like that because there's little patience. More and more it's becoming the case where, and you honestly, you really don't know what to expect, you know? And you can't blame anyone for looking out for their safety. Incidentally, Tennessee, I understand, the legislators are considering a bill that would basically make it legal for anyone to carry a gun without a permit and even go into businesses and not have anything come against them, any liability, legal liability. But a lot of that is because a lot of people have been, unfortunately, many people have been victimized. They refuse to be a victim. Can you understand that? Can you appreciate that? I believe you can. I believe you can. And if so, what is it then internally within our neighborhoods and our community can we do? Not just doctors, but we do. Now, I don't have any small children anymore. Don't have any grandchildren yet. I expect that they're coming. But I have nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews and things of that nature. More importantly, I consider all of them to some extent extended family, and I'm concerned about them, right? But remember, we were talking about some best practices and what research has suggested would be helpful for any family, things for them to use to employ. So this is not something that we're beating you on the head with or saying you got to do, but I want to strongly encourage you to consider incorporating some of these thoughts, these ideas. And while I still wait on you to give me a call here at 563-999-3617, I will reiterate some of the aspects of our monologue because they were key, all right? And I'll just keep the phone lines open here. So y'all just give me a call when you're ready. We got a few more minutes. We got about 7:47 here, Central Time. We got about another 13 minutes or so before we wrap up. So we can take your questions, a few questions, comments here. I listed considerations, right? Some things that research suggests are some best practices or some considerations to think about, right, to address certain problems that may arise with many families, particularly in urban America. Because we know that poverty, substandard schools, I hate to say it, violence, right, fatherlessness, and all of these things factor in. And this shapes the behavior of young people that are coming out of these homes, these living units and what have you. But I want to make it clear that what we're trying to say is, despite those challenges, there are some ways that we can support parents and guardians. I've mentioned that sometimes it may be that extended family, where it's your grandparents raising children again. Whoever you are, you're the custodial authority for parents and maybe a foster parent, right? But here's some things. Here's the problem solving. The ability to resolve problems on various levels that may arise and maintain healthy family function as a unit. That's important. Now, I know tonight you may not be able to get it all, but again, want to reiterate it for the likelihood that somebody may listen to us after tonight. Okay? And hopefully this will be helpful to someone, the whole point of the podcast. All right? That's the problem solving. Communication. What are we talking about? Make it real short here. What we're talking about is finding a way to hear and to speak, right, and get across to the members of your family, your children, maybe your spouses, certain values, how they interact with one another so that they can do conflict resolution with things like sibling rivalries and so forth and so on. But we're talking about that communication, understanding how to articulate what is appropriate for them. Family roles. The father got a role. The mother has a role. The children have a role. Right? Understanding what that is. Sometimes you have a different structure of family. If there are other people in that family, those people should be well-defined what that role is. Right? A lot of times with discipline, figures in the house are not on the same sheet of music with discipline. What children will be able to get away with and what they won't be able to get away with. And that opens the door for children to manipulate everybody and everything. And they kind of grow up out of order. Okay? But we're talking about family roles there. Effective responsiveness. Now, what is that? Ability to respond emotionally to family members in an appropriate manner. Not when you're mad and angry and you just fed up, but to be able to have a regular dialogue and report with them. Sometimes you may have to tell them right now we can't talk, but we will. I'll make sure that we make time for us to talk because I need to hear. What you're saying is important to me to know, to heal. How you feel is important to me. That's what we're talking about, effective responsiveness. And a lot of times, young children, there's an old adage in many African-American families, children should be heard and not seen. I don't know about that. I don't know about that, especially in 2024. There's a lot on their mind. Sometimes in urban America, their children were forced in adult-like circumstances where they have to make adult-like decisions. And they need somebody to help them process all that. You may not mean it as a parent to put them in that predicament. I'll use myself as an example. I never will forget I was driving and pastoring. I was driving the church van this particular day, dropped the children off in the church van, and was driving around running business and errands, had resources to put gas in the van, but I didn't. It slipped up. And I went to pick them up, long story short, as they got in the van, we drove out of the school parking lot and pop, van stopped. Oh, my God. I said, oh, man, I suppose we stopped and got the gas. But my little daughter, bless her heart, she's the vocal one. Daddy, you ain't got no money? Yes, sweetie, Daddy has money. Well, why didn't you put no money? You couldn't get to the gas? Yes, I had. Why you put no gas in the car? You knew. Oh, you know what? I had to listen to that one. And when she finished, I explained to her, you're right. No excuse. It's Daddy's fault. But guess what? Now it's time for you to be quiet. You had an opportunity to express your. But she and her brother were uncomfortable. Her brother was trying to tell her, okay, just leave it alone. Let it go. But she was right to a point, but being able to engage and communicate, that's what we're talking about in terms of effective responsiveness. Then effective involvement. How well, as a whole, do your family come together? Things like maybe playing board games, sitting at the table, eating, as a family activity, washing dishes. I don't know. You may not do that, but I'm trying to give you some example of some things. But basically displaying an interest in one another, brothers and sisters, your parents, sitting around laughing. You understand what I'm saying? Being able to be involved in some family-based activities. See what I mean? And then behavioral controls. What do you mean by behavioral controls again? Will you say that again, Brother Doctor? Absolutely. Talk about that. We're making reference to patterns of behaviors that the family adopts for dealing with situations. Now, everything that goes on in your house shouldn't be shared with everybody else out in the street or in other public venues. And the family knows that in our house, we do things a certain way. Remember we talked about them roles? Some people have designated roles. They may have chores and what have you. But we do things a certain way, and within this family, that's how we do it. It may not be the same way over at the Joneses or the Franklins, but here in our house, this is how we do it. And it's understood by every member of the family that this is our specific way. Things. I'm convinced that using these concepts, these principles, you can find success for your family, you know, for your children. If they're at risk, let's work on creating environments like this for them. Am I saying that's easy? No, don't mean to suggest that. I don't mean to suggest it because I realize that may not be easy for many people. But it is possible. Sometimes you may have to go and give the biological parent or the guardian a break or a rest. And, you know, you can step in and help this way. If there's nothing else that I want to say tonight before we finish this discussion, I got about a few more minutes, about four more minutes. And that is that as a pastor or as a ministry, as a church, these are things we can prepare, equip, and learn how to do in the interest of these young people on these streets, to bring them off the streets into a structured, organized environment. Just bring them in there and have them in there, it's not going to work. But you got to have something for them to do. That means you need to know what to do for them. And as I said, we're happy to help you with that. I gave you the number to call here in the studio, but my general number is 615, based in Nashville, Tennessee. My number to call me is 615-498-4669. You can give me a buzz there, or you can give me a call at 615-942-6816. Okay? You're interested in hearing about that. What I do. I'd be happy to share that with you. All right? Having said that, we're about at that point where we'll wrap up the show. And we're going to end how we began with my good friend. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We were speaking from the topic, Considerations for Families Raising At-Risk Youth, Male or Female. All right? And as I said earlier, if you want to, you catch this live stream after the fact, you can feel free to give me a call or post, shoot me a question or comment in the Facebook thread. I'll be happy to, you know, I'll be checking this and happy to try to respond to it accordingly, okay? BFCInstitute@gmail.com is a number, is an email you can shoot me an email at. BFC, that's like Bravo Fox Charlie, BFCInstitute@gmail.com. All right? That's my email there. All right. Thank you all so much for listening to us tonight, and we'll look forward to try to catch you again on another episode. That'll be next month. I won't see you until next month for Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery, and Brother Donnie Hathaway, the late great Donnie Hathaway, take us home.
Thank you.